Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and coordinating director for Emerging Regions, Sean Roney. And with us as always is our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Yes, I'm telling you, you have to get tested for herpes. Goodbye.
So long, Donna.
No Edwin today. Edwin is in Vietnam.
That's right.
On some work.
Vietnam.
He's flying choppers out of Saigon for a couple weeks. So hopefully he gets out of there safe.
We hope he's all right. He went text silent getting to Vietnam. But we did see an email, so thank goodness.
Maybe his international phone plan doesn't work there for some reason. Anyway, he's not on here because he can't text, but he's the time difference has reached... undoable difference.
He's finally gone too far. Yeah. To talk about The Office.
Pushing the boundaries of time zones. But yeah, no Edwin today. So you get Shawnee Boy and myself picking through some voicemails.
Yeah. And by the way, every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office, if this is your first time listening.
I love this TV.
Yeah, this week is a voicemail episode, so yeah, let's dive in.
Yeah, we don't really need to do much housekeeping other than I want to do a quick plug for our store, mspcstore.com. Plug for our Patreon, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Check it.
$5 a month, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Exclusive benefits, including ad-free episodes, including exclusive monthly mailbags, which we just dropped a doozy for Thanksgiving. You guys were fantastic at the holiday questions. We also have our first two episodes of our new show, which will be launching at some point in December. Captive Audience are available on there, as well as all of our other bonus series about other TV shows. So lots of good stuff at your fingertips there.
So yeah, check us out on Patreon. It's a great way to support the show. Thank you to our Scott's Tots. Let's get into it. How about we play this one from Emma?
You betcha. Oh, let me pull up the right page here on my laptop. There it is. Here we go.
Emma from Wisconsin. This is Mike Tyson. Just kidding. It's Emma from Wisconsin. I've been rewatching The Office for the 8 billionth time, and I'm like halfway through season 2, episode 3, Office Olympics, a classic. And it just blows me away how different Jim is in these first couple seasons versus the end of the show. And I know this is something that's been talked about 4,000 times already, but I don't think that season 1, 2, 3, or even season 4 Jim would treat Pam the way he does in season 9. I don't understand it. I hate it. I hate later season Jim. Hmm. I do. And I just needed to get that off my chest. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Emma. I like this this because it doesn't feel like something we talk about very much. You know, I mean, obviously there's big character shifts, like Kevin Malone is, you know, completely different by the end of the show.
What a good example.
But what do you think about this take that Jim early season Jim would never treat Pam this way?
It's true. We've sort of never talked about this. I would when I look at the landscape of characters, how they change throughout the show, I'm like, I don't think that I wouldn't put Jim high on the list of like characters that change the most from the beginning of the show to the end. Actually, between him and Dwight, it's probably the most, and Pam too. They're pretty steady the entire time in terms of kind of their core, who they are versus, yeah, like you see Kevin, you see Andy, even Oscar, Angela, all of them kind of have some much larger swings in their personalities, kind of who they are by the end of the show. I'm guessing Emma's talking about, you know, the athlete, you know, secret that he's keeping from Pam, putting some of their money into it without telling her, all these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, beginning of this show, Jim's in his what, probably late 20s, going after a girl who's right. engaged. Like, he's courting, right. like the first four seasons of this show, he's courting Pam, you know, like he is doing mating dances. He's different. He's trying to make that work. And then when they're married, they have kids. Like, it's going to change by the end.
It is. I mean, it is kind of like his number one, like, goal, I guess, is his love for Pam and wanting to be with Pam in those early seasons.
It's his whole character.
I mean, I guess besides the whole, I mean, you know, the whole Karen Filippelli stuff, though, in season three, you know, when Pam is single and kind of wants to be friends and Jim, you know, is keeping her at an arm's length. I don't know.
Filippellers, how they hanging?
I forgot I had that drop.
It does. Hell yeah. it does feel like for him to all of a sudden in season nine, and not that he's fully like this, but for him to in season nine be like, ugh, wife and kids holding me back from my sports with the boys dreams. You know, it's mm-hmm. just like, it does seem like a stretch. But I mean, both, you know, Pam kind of hurt Jim in, you know, season two. At the end of season two, by, you know, staying with her fiance, which is
right, not really her,
and then,
yeah,
and then
not her bad, totally,
yeah, yeah, and then, and man, if you're like dating and then married and you are in the same office together every day, and for a long time, they literally sit at the same desk, mm-hmm. Cluster, yeah, I guess after a while he started having, you know, more important dreams.
I mean, that's the thing is there's an argument here that Jim in season nine is kind of back to season one Jim in terms of like those early talking heads with Jim. He's just like, I'm so bored. I could be here for years and years and years. And he does not want that.
Yeah.
And I think once he's like hit that point again, he got the girl. They've married, they've had kids. I think he's back to that point where he's like, do I want my kids to think about me as just, I stayed in the sales job for my entire life? Or is he like, I kind of want to do this.
Right.
And he doesn't treat Pam well in that he doesn't communicate and he's not that honest up front and he's not mm-hmm. forthcoming. That's not great. That's bad. But it's also like kind of in line with Jim a little bit. I wouldn't say he's totally out of character. Like, I think he just changes and he kind of, I think once he gets his head above water from getting married and kids, he's sort of like, hey, there's still this thing that I've been dreaming of. And is it great to put most of their nest egg into it without Pam? Not at all. Terrible. I'd say that's a much bigger infraction than the argument you'll hear was just like, well, Pam did that to Jim in season five by just quitting her job mm-hmm. without telling. And it's like, well, yeah, okay. They're still in the same building. Like, not, they're not moving the family to a different state, so it's not quite the same. But all that is to say,
yeah,
I don't know if it's totally out of character with Jim. but it is not also not great. But hey, she's one step closer to that brownstone now, I'd say.
It's in season 9, athlete is the new Pam, and Roy is, you know, some other partner that they go with over Jim. So he can't stand to let it happen again.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a good question. We're probably going to say this a lot today, but I wish Edwin was here to get his take.
I do too. I almost found myself like leaving room for Edwin to respond after you had said your piece. And I was like, oh, wait, he's not here. We all miss him. I'm sure the listeners do too.
Yeah.
Love you, buddy. Next voicemail from Sarah.
Sarah Kayakumsen? No, just Sarah.
Hey guys, this is Sarah from Ohio. I am still pretty far behind catching up right now, and I'm listening to your karaoke episode, and you were discussing what song Phyllis and Bob would sing. 100% they would sing Love Shack, and they would kill it, and it would be hilarious. I just had to tell you that, and I hope you have a good day. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, Love Shack's pretty good.
I like that take. I like to imagine Bob Vance singing like the guy from the B-52s. That's...
Yeah.
a little back and forth between Bob and Phyllis.
Arrested Development already did this joke, but I could also see them doing Afternoon Delight.
Skyrockets in Flight. Yeah, yeah.
I could just, but I want to hear Bob do it in like a baritone or bass, like, thinking of you's working on my appetite when I'm talking to a little Afternoon Delight.
You know how Michael's singing voice is definitely like, it's like that like guy in mass like singing. You know what I mean? Like it's a very church pew.
Yeah.
Singing style. I could see Bob having a little bit of that.
Yeah.
As well,
I could. Yeah. Totally. Like, it would not. Bob is a bass in the choir at their local Presbyterian church for sure. I could see that.
Yeah, he's a pinnacle of the community.
But pillar. You know, he strikes me as a guy, Bob, that's got two or three karaoke songs, and those he'll never do anything outside those. Like, he does karaoke at the hall at his company party once a year, twice a year maybe. Mm-hmm. After a few whiskey sours.
Yeah, he lets everyone else have their fun. Then he gets up and he does.
I think he warms up with a Johnny Cash.
Some Blink 182.
Well, we went very different directions.
Yeah, Johnny Cash. Oh, absolutely.
I think he starts with a little Johnny Cash.
Ring of Fire.
That's his hit. People know he's going to do it. It's like, Bob's going to do Ring of Fire. It's going to be fire.
Everybody sings along with him.
Then he brings up, and then, you know, Phyllis gets a few glasses of wine in her, brings her up. They do Love Shack.
He's like twirling her. They're kind of doing that old step back and forth.
They do Love Shack. And then end of the night, Bob closes it down with Super Freak by Rick James. And that's just foreplay for him and
that is a good one.
Phyllis. Sorry, I've got penis on the brain. All right.
Thanks, Sarah.
Good question, Sarah. Let's move on to Amanda, who called in from Kentucky. What's up?
What's up, my nerds? This is Amanda in Kentucky. I'm a little behind. I'm just finishing up jury duty from a few weeks ago. And Sean was surprised that Edwin didn't think that Oscar was implying that Philip was Dwight's baby. But I never thought about it that way either. I always thought Oscar just had so much to talk about because he says, I don't know which thread to follow, and he's so excited that he had to tell somebody something. So he told Dwight, you know, I told her I wouldn't tell anybody this, but, you know, I never thought that Oscar made the connection that Dwight and Angela may have been together, so it might be his baby. So, so I never thought that way. I still don't think that's what it is. Like, it's just not the feel I get from that scene. So I think it's funny how we all interpret things a little differently. So anyway, hope y'all are doing amazing. It's almost Thanksgiving, and I'm super excited. So enjoy your turkey day. and I'll call back soon.
Thanks, Amanda. I hope you enjoyed your turkey day as well. Yeah. And I'm sorry that Edwin isn't here to hear that. We did get other responses saying kind of the same thing, that that people didn't think that Oscar was. And this is in regards to when Angela gives birth in the episode Jury Duty, and Oscar realizes it's, you know, not a premature baby, a premature birth. He tells Dwight, like, right away. And I was saying that, you know, Oscar is really stirring the pot by telling Dwight that he thinks, basically, that he thinks that the baby is Dwight's. And Edwin was like, I didn't ever see it that way. I just saw it as Oscar just really, really wanted to gossip with somebody.
Yeah.
And people have responded to us kind of on Edwin's side. I'm here to say that I will die on this hill. I am not swayed in the slightest. Oscar, like, he doesn't need to gossip with Gabe and Kevin and Aaron are all there to witness it. So I know that they're all kind of dumb, but it's not like Oscar holds Dwight in much more high regard. And again,
you're ignorant and insulting and small.
I mean, again, Oscar knows all about Dwight and Angela's affairs. He knows that they've had sex on his desk. He knows that they were sleeping. Yeah. And he knows that, like, Angela was cheating on Andy with Dwight for, you know, basically her entire relationship with Andy. He can only assume that all this secrecy around when the baby was conceived is probably, once again, related to her still having an affair with Dwight. So
he also knows the senator's gay. He also knows the senator's gay.
Right. He also knows the senator's gay.
He knows who. He's like, who was sleeping with Angela that wasn't the senator? Because it wasn't the senator. It was probably Dwight. Probably knows. Yeah. Like,
Oscar's like the smartest guy in the office. He if anyone's going to put this together, and he is actively trying to figure it out. He's like, I don't know which thread to follow. This is him telling
Why does
Dwight,
this always happen to me?
Telling Dwight, that is probably your baby. Just saying. Just so he knows.
And maybe he doesn't know, but he has some evidence. Like, he doesn't know for sure, but he's like, dude, you should know. Ain't no way this happened when she says it happened.
Ain't no way. I do enjoy when we all read something differently. But I'm here to say I'm hardcore for this theory that Oscar is actively trying to stir some shit up.
I think you don't know what you're saying.
Actually, I meant to play this one.
I was wrong. I'm wrong. Is everyone happy?
So anyways, I'm sure Edwin will come back and tell me, you know, next week he'll be here to say, okay, well,
dude, you know what, Sean? I'm gonna be a Samwise Gamgee here, and I'm gonna carry you up that hill. When you fall, I'm with
Thanks,
you,
buddy,
Mr. Frodo. I'm taking you all the way to the mountain.
Come at us.
Try and stop us, dude.
Try and
you think
stop
that?
It.
You think that ring's not getting into the lava of Mount Doom? You're crazy. Send your little golems at us.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Thanks for calling. How about Luke?
What up, MSPC? This is Luke from Louisville. You don't need to ask how I'm doing because you already know. I'm fine, bitch. I'm fine. Hey, you all consistently say that season 8 and season 9
I'm fine,
are by
bitch.
Far the worst, which I don't disagree
I'm
with.
Fine.
It can't all be bad. So I'd be interested to see maybe a draft episode or just kind of talking through what are some of your favorite episodes from season 8 and season 9. Hope you all have a good one. Appreciate you. Now y'all need to go get back after it. Get back to work, shoe bitch.
Perfect delivery on on that. I'm pulling up a list of episodes.
Yeah, you do it.
I mean, I like this. I like this challenge here, Luke. And maybe we should do a draft. I will say that I definitely like season 8 more than 9, which is kind of odd because Greg Daniels is coming back in season 9 and he tries to ground the show a little bit more and make it, you know, no more Florida stuff. You know, we're in the office. But I, you know,
it's just missing. Like, I agree that's a good idea, but man, it's missing Michael. You know, that's like 9 is it's just, or do it with a better manager, make Andy not a villain. I don't know.
The Andy stuff is weird. I just like, you know, but anyways, let's get back to Luke's question. What are the things that we like in season 8 and 9?
I mean, I've been on record. Like, season 8 has really grown on me over the years. I don't hate it. I like it. I like season 8. Would I put it above any season prior to that? Probably not. But it's close, you know? It's pretty darn good the more I come back to it. I mean, this is why it's, I think, so much better than 9, is you bring in Robert California, who, again, a lot of people don't like. He's super weird. James Spader was super weird. The character, however, just works for me a lot on The Office, like, as far as adding that piece to the puzzle. This is what season 9 dearly missed, is like it has Andy in this bastardized version of Andy as the boss. But having Robert California there, Andy's still manager, but he still has this person he's trying to impress, live up to, whatever. And by the end of it, it obviously doesn't, he hangs up on Robert in kind of his triumphant moment from the season for Andy. But throughout, like, it gives us a lot of, I think, great episodes. Like, I think the list is awesome. I think Garden Party's fantastic. Pool Party's fantastic. Mrs. California's fantastic. Like, these are great episodes.
I'm looking at Tallahassee. This really is a really good episode.
Oh, Nelly. Nelly on me. The more I like Nelly, the more I like season 8. It's kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it's great. Nelly's part specifically in this episode is just fantastic. I mean, we use a lot of drops from this episode. You get the return of Todd Packer, especially, you know, and then and then the whole thing with Dwight having appendicitis and thinking that Jim has poisoned him. Like, I mean, all that stuff with Dwight is incredible. Him being rolled out on the stretcher and calling baby, you know, or calling Moe's, and then this is a great the Tallahassee episode is really, really good. That would be a top pick for me.
I think the first two-thirds of 8 are great. I do think once you get to like Last Day in Florida and get the girl, from there on it's not awesome. I think it loses a lot of steam at the end. Get the girl. We're driving down to Florida and back. Then, I mean, the welcome party, Angry Andy, fundraiser with the dogs. It loses its way a bit here. I think Free Family Portrait Studios, fairly strong end. To the season, but until then, there's just not. Turf War is okay, but it feels like filler because it is. But that said, I think everything start of season 8 up through
is
Tallahassee good. After hours is
solid.
Great.
And if we're looking at season 9, I mean, Dwight Christmas is a fantastic, you know, Christmas episode. That's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm so glad that we, still got something like that out of season 9. And I want to say, I think the pumpkin stuff is in season 9 too, when he's got the pumpkin head. I can't find it, which episode specifically. People are screaming listening
to
that.
I like Suit Warehouse. I'm weird. I like that episode. I think it's fun.
Stairmageddon is just like such a wild premise for an episode that I feel like I was like describing Stairmageddon to somebody recently and they were just like, what? I do not remember this episode. I was like, yeah, it's weird, man. It feels bizarre. Like you dreamed it or something. Yep. Yeah, it just gets so insane. But But
Here Comes Trouble has its moments. You get to, I feel like
it's
season
a lot
nine,
of Andy for me.
It's a lot of Andy, but it does close some, I don't know, closes some storylines. Like you finally get to see Here Comes Trouble, at least the new version.
Yeah.
You get Broccoli Rob. You get,
Stephen Colbert.
That's nine. It's just tying up loose ends, right?
Yeah. A lot of the Jim and Pam drama happening in Here Comes Trouble, though, too. Anyways, I like the idea of doing a draft. Picking our good stuff we like from seasons 8 and 9. Maybe we'll put something like that together.
And look,
great suggestion.
AARM and the finale, those are in season 9. And those, you know, as much as you don't like them, like those are the finale is good.
Yeah.
Finale slaps. So, and it counts as season 9.
Yeah.
So it's eligible, true. And that's a good one. So, sorry. Sorry, Luke. Get back to work, shoe bitch.
Let's you know what? Let's skip this next one on the list. Okay. I want to save that for when we have Edwin with us.
Sure.
Let's play one from Austin.
The headquarters of Athlete, in fact, down in Austin.
What's up, my nerds? My name is Austin. First time caller, long time tot. I'm calling from the road, but I'm from Dunder Mifflin Hancock. That's Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Ooh,
if you're familiar,
nice.
The snowy north of Michigan that nobody knows about. I'm calling today just to say how stoked I am for your guys' new podcast. But the thing is, you've already made me watch 3 new TV shows that I've never seen before. And while I'm better for it, I think we should be able to hold you guys to a captive audience every now and again.
Oh.
Let the tots vote on what we think you guys should watch. And my suggestion would be the TV show Jury Duty. It's been described as the Truman Show meets The Office. And a couple of Office writers are producers on it. And since I'm on the road, I'm not going to look up who that is because that would be dangerous.
I will.
But yeah, I think you guys really like it. It's pretty wild. Premise? Jury Duty documentary. One guy thinks it's real. Everyone else is an actor, and they just screw with this guy's head, and I feel really bad for him. But also, he's a really good guy, and I just love watching it. So, yeah, give it a shot. See if you like it. I am getting pulled over for talking on my cell phone. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks, Austin. Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky. Are the creators of Jury Duty. I didn't even realize that. We have gotten several suggestions to watch Jury Duty. This is a great idea. So, and then also, if you haven't heard, we're going to start a new podcast called Captive Audience, where we make each other watch things that each other hasn't seen or that we like and the others haven't seen. What we were talking about, actually, and I think this idea actually came from your call, Austin, was that we, you know, moving forward, like when we make a new Patreon or whatever we end up doing with the new show, that would be something that we could do as a bonus thing is have the Patreon vote on what to make us watch.
And if all of you can come together and choose something.
Chairs awesome. Or copier.
I mean, I guess we could give them a large list, like, because we need to sit down and make a big list of stuff. Like, we each need to make a list of stuff we haven't seen that would qualify for this show, and maybe put that all out there and be like, all right, you guys choose from this giant master list. You know, you make us do it. But we do take suggestions, and we would like to move to a point where we have guests on the show who bring something that we have to watch. No matter how small or obscure, that could be the other category. So,
Jury Duty, though, we keep getting suggestions for. So maybe we'll just end up doing that for Patreon.
Yeah.
In the future, because I still have not seen it.
I did. I have seen it.
You watched it?
I did. I really, really enjoyed it. I loved it.
I've only heard great things. I think sometimes I'm almost, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm almost like, once I start hearing a lot of really good things about something, I'm like, well, let's not start that because, like, I can't, like, I'm tired and I kind of just want to look at my phone and tomorrow we can't watch anything. I don't know. I kind of just want to, you know, consume that.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I haven't gotten around to it and I am excited to.
Nice.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. All right.
Let's play one from Ben.
Going to Ben in Arkansas.
Hey, guys. This is Ben from Arkansas. I had a story I wanted to tell you. I'm a real estate appraiser, and I was inspecting a bunch of apartments yesterday. And I was on the inspection with, like, an environmental guy. And they had to put a bunch of radon test kits into the apartment units that we went into. And so, like, every single unit we walked into, there were people that lived in the apartments. And the guy kept having to go, "This is a radon test kit. We'll be back to collect this in a couple days. We're just going to set it on your counter or whatever." And, like, over and over again, "This is a radon test kit. This is a radon test kit." And then, like, it just popped into my mind, like, the third or fourth unit that we walked into of Toby saying, "This is a radon test kit. Do not throw these away." And it made me think of you guys. I did not do a good job of telling that story. But I'm in a gas station parking lot with my one-year-old behind me. So there you go. That's my story. Thanks. Love the pod. Bye.
Thanks, Ben. I thought you told that story great. as soon as you said, yeah, he kept going and saying, "This is a radon test kit." I could just see Toby. Hey.
The way he holds it and snaps with the other hand, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the best.
And just the way that Michael yeah. I think it's like Michael, like, turns his head without and then looks and then, like, yeah.
He doesn't move his body at all. And his neck is so strained. And
yeah,
he's looking at it with, like, indignation. That's one of the best, one of the great bloopers from the show is from that scene, because they can't hold it together when he does that look. But it's,
here's a good,
yeah,
here's a good trivia. What does he think it is? It's like he thinks it's an ant trap, and then he thinks it's one of those cow things. And then the third time, he knows it's a radon test kit. He just holds it up to the camera and throws it away. Just
spikes
rockets it into, yeah.
In the trash.
Thanks, Ben. That is a I love
Not
that
now,
story.
Toby, my
oh,
God.
Jesus. Get the hell out of here, idiot.
What did I do?
By the way, anyone, if you're at your workplace, your home, if you find a radon test kit, take a picture, send it to us. We're accepting them all. all right, moving on here to let's go down to Erica in Maryland.
Hi, this is Erica calling from the Baltimore, Maryland area. Catching up on the pod after a little hiatus. I needed a break from you guys.
Sure,
me too. And I'm glad I started off with the teapot episode, these hot takes and questions you all have. My big takeaway is that none of you either scuba or know someone who does, because your thoughts around what was up with Creed and wanting to know more about scuba diving and everything, I just thought it hilarious because I'm very good friends with a scuba diver. It's her life, and she's got people in her life, and that's all they do and all they talk about, and they volunteer at the local aquarium just to clean the tanks because it gives them a chance to put on the equipment, like. So I'm sure if other listeners get the chance to hear this and they too know a scuba diver, they will also appreciate that if you know a diver, that is what it's all about. So thank you for listening. Thanks for an amazing podcast. You guys are often the best part of my week. So take care.
Oh,
bye.
Thanks, Erica. Thank you so much for your call. So I think when we talked about this, we were saying, like, that there must be some goal beyond, you know, that Creed needs to scuba dive for, either that he wants to catch the Loch Ness monster, which he does talk about, yeah. Or, you know, I think we were like, what if there's some, like, you know, he's moving drugs that way through some, you know, underwater pipe or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember exactly what we said.
He's doing runs into Canada through the Great Lakes. Yeah.
But I like the idea. I think, you know, what Erica's saying maybe is really that, like, you know, when Creed says, "What's this all been about? You know, what's this all for? If I can't scuba, what's this all for?" Everything Creed does, every scheme he pulls, every grift he does is just to get money so that he can just get in the water and go scuba diving. That's it. Just keep diving. Just be in that underwater world, and you know, I don't know. You know, that's his bliss.
I've, you know, this is what I've heard is accessing this underwater world. I mean, it's like going into outer space, I think, for people. It is pure weightless exploration in places people don't go. And I mean, the ocean is largely unexplored, I think. I remember reading about where it's like we've explored roughly the same percentage of our oceans as we have our observable universe. It's almost the same ratio, which is blows my mind.
Humans have explored 5% of the ocean.
And this is what from our observable, like what we could actually see, like we've looked at about 5% of the sky in total, you know, overall of human history. It's just like, okay, my brain doesn't know what to do with that information. But all that is to say, I think I get it. Like I get the scuba thing 100%. I think I could see it becoming very addicting. I could see it becoming something where you're just like, I got to go on the next scuba trip to a place and explore some stuff. I mean, it would be very cool. I feel this way about, you know, golf trips and really beautiful places where I'm like, I'm accessing this place.
It's all just special. I just got to get back out there.
And it's a secret. I could just go do it. And what am I doing for? I'm just trying to get back out there. That's it. I get it. I think Creed's, again, this could be Creed. This is performance art over the course of 9 seasons where he's just having fun with the documentary crew and playing this character. Or maybe that's all he's doing. But I feel like Scranton isn't a place you'd settle down as a scoop, as a real hardcore scuba diver. I don't know. I feel like you'd want, I don't know, maybe it doesn't matter. But something else. By the way, without looking, Sean, you know SCUBA is a acronym. Do you know what it stands for?
No.
Where the word
it doesn't even have a D for dive.
Nope, but it is an acronym.
No, I can't even think
Take
of the
a
first
guess.
Word.
No? Okay.
See
cucumbers.
See. maybe Creed's always going diving in Lake Scranton. There are some lakes around.
Sure.
I've got no
clue. Pack or whatever it's called. Yeah, he should have been ready on that booze cruise, you know, going overboard.
What is scuba stand
I believe,
for?
I am not looking it up right now, but I believe it is a self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I want to say. Am I right? Yes.
Self-contained.
I am right.
Yeah. Oh, actually, sorry. It was self-contained underwater breathing asparagus.
Oh, Sean.
Pranked you. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Erica. Next one from Emily.
Hey, MSBC. This is Emily from Dunder Mifflin, Fresno. And I just felt the need to call you guys after I listened to the Halloween episode with Alex's laser tag debacle. And I was reminded of this time. It was my sophomore year in college. It was not my freshman year. It was my sophomore year. Anyway, I lived in an apartment with like 3 other girls. And we got a bill stuck to our apartment door for the cost of the use of a fire extinguisher, because I guess there had been a party in the hall or at a department down our hall. Someone had taken the fire extinguisher off the wall and we got stuck with the bill for it. So the other girls were like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we're in trouble. We have to pay this. And I was like, no. I had not yet at this point in my life served on a jury. I have now. However, I had done mock trial, so I was familiar with the law. So I called the office and I was like, look, we got this thing on our door. I don't really know what to do about this, but this is like not our responsibility. And the lady in the office was, I got it out of her that they had just stuck it to our door because we were the closest apartment to the fire extinguisher. And she was like, you guys have to pay it, which was very similar to that guy being like, you have to give me your license and your credit card number. And I just like talked her out of it because she had no like grounds to do that. And I was like 19 years old, but I just kept like pushing. And it was very much the Pam to Gabe being like, say it, say you think I'm lying, or say I have the job. So I just like, strong-armed her into not making it to the fire extinguisher. This is a nonsense story, but it felt related to the laser tag thing. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a good day. I just felt the need to tell you that. Love what you guys do. I listen all the time. And yeah, call again soon. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Emily. Yeah, I thought that was great. You tied it to Alex's story and back to the office with the say it Say you think I'm lying. Say, it. Say I have the job. Yeah.
Give me the job.
Man, I had a similar thing too. I don't really condone this, but like we had an electrician come out one time and like look at this light that wasn't working. And like, you know, things happen. Like he got dog poop on his shoe and like he like almost walked it in and that, but then he didn't. And that, but then like, anyways, he looked at the thing and he couldn't fix it. And he kind of just told me like, you should buy this thing and do it yourself, which I eventually figured out how to do with a lot of YouTubing and trips to Home Depot. But then I got a $360 bill from the electrician and I was just like, dude, nothing happened. Like it was basically nothing. Like how on earth? And like, we kind of went back and forth for a while. And like, I remember seeing him one time just be like, so you're just not going to pay this. And I was like, I mean, like, not that, like, you know, I didn't even realize that was an option, but like, but it's just like, I was just like, dude, I just like, I mean, come on. Like, and it was like one of the, yeah. And so I don't know. They might take me to small claims court at some point, but it was just, I mean, and I don't know. I think, you know, not to say like his time isn't valuable and all that stuff, but it was one time where I was just like, man, I just don't know. That just doesn't seem.
It is. I send us. I want more of these. I enjoy. Like most people are non-confrontational. But there are just times when you have to be, or like, I want to hear about successful confrontations that didn't involve, you know, that weren't like violent or whatever, but just like a time when you were like, no, I ordered a diet. Like whatever that thing is. Like whatever,
Pammy is going to start getting what she wants and don't call me Pammy.
Like there's no one too small, no one too big, no story too small or big. Just.
Yeah.
Let us know. I love these mild confrontations.
We'll call them laser tag stories.
Give us your laser tags. I'm not doing that because I'm pretty sure I don't have to. That's a good one though. I like that. So you're just not going to pay it. You've already won. They're just like,
come and get it.
You just showed your hand. You're just trying to see if I'll pay this.
Yeah.
You know,
like it was like the cost of him having to like drive out there. I was like, well, where are you guys? I didn't know that it was like that. You're like on the other side of town. Your number just popped up for a Portland electrician.
it's like when Dwight puts that thing on the big chart of like, or you can give me all the power over everyone. And Michael's like, no, I'm not doing that. And immediately Dwight's like, OK, well, I tried. Just packs up. He's like, you're not going to do it. OK. Then I'm out. See
Bye.
You.
Yep. Fine.
anyway, yeah, send us more minor laser tag confrontations.
Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with a couple of screw the teapot letter messages. Massages. Excuse me if I could get everyone's attention. Big moment. This year's chip leader and winner of this beautiful mini refrigerator courtesy of Vance Refrigeration is... you, thanks to DraftKings Casino. Play the classics like blackjack, roulette, and slots, plus enjoy exclusive games you can't find anywhere else. Right now, new customers can get a deposit match up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. Your way is the only way to play on DraftKings Casino. Play online, on your time, in your space, and within your means. It's safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you're ready. Download the DraftKings Casino app now. Sign up with the promo code MICHAEL, and new customers get a deposit match up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. Only on DraftKings Casino with promo code MICHAEL. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. Please play responsibly. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in West Virginia. all games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 and over. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. One per opted-in new customer. Minimum $5 deposit, maximum match $100 in casino credits, which require one-time playthrough within 7 days. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/playerschoice. Restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to our show that's happening right now to you in your ears. Let's just do these back-to-back. What do you say?
Let's go.
Two Screw the Teapot letters. I'm going to hit you right in a row. First, we got Ben in Pennsylvania. And then we've got Chris down in Syracuse, up there with Harry Generone. But for now, let's go Ben, Pennsylvania.
Hey, MSBC. It's Ben from Pennsylvania. Screw the Teapot letter. I want to see Jan and Clark's trip in Europe. I want to see what that was like. That angry swarm of bees. I want to feel every sting. Thanks for doing this. I'm going to keep listening.
Excellent. Very, very good one. Yeah, that would be a great like Lost episode or Lost cold open or something.
I think they lost the opportunity to get a similar Michael and Jan picture in sandals. I feel like they should have done a similar one in Europe. I don't know what it would have been
so easy. Could have been
the move. All right, let's go to Chris here in Syracuse now.
Hey, what up, Cynthia? This is Chris calling from Syracuse. I was just listening to your guys' episode on the Screw the Teapot letter ideas, and I was thinking, Screw the Teapot letter. Show me the car ride between Michael and Meredith when Michael took her to the emergency room after he hit her with his car. I feel like there's a ton of comedic bits there that somehow would have made Michael look way worse than he already did. I just think there's a lot of hidden gems there. I mean, it might have been pretty dark with Meredith in severe pain. But yeah, anyways, keep up the good work, guys. Love the podcast.
Yeah. That's a good one. Do you think that was a silent car ride or just like her just like screaming at him and being like, oh, God. Well, or is it like Mr. Pink or whatever in the back of the car in Reservoir Dogs?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a lot of Michael talking, trying to make Meredith feel better. And then constantly looking at her in the rearview mirror, so he's driving poorly, and every sharp turn or bump she's like and so I think she's just making pain noises and he's just talking, trying to make himself and her feel better, but mainly himself. But a couple of great Screw the Teapots there. That would be a great especially the dash cam camera, which I find so funny.
Yes.
It's just always funny.
Would
have been great for that. And back to Chris's here reminds me, though, I probably have told this story on the podcast before, but like I once got bitten in the face by a coworker's dog. This was like, gosh, 8-9 years ago now. And it was just an old, really, really old dog. It wasn't like a mean dog. I went in for a face nuzzle and it was so blind that it thought I was a threat or food or something. So it just like snapped at me. And it's almost went through my bottom lip, the bite, and it was really bad. But the coworker time, she had to give me a ride to the ER to get stitches on my lip, and she had to take her dog because it was her dog. So I had to ride in the car with this dog the whole way. And then again, it was a mellow old dog. It was just like it was just funny. I had to ride along with the thing that
she's
did it to
just
me.
Driving you like so. Do you like dogs? Or...
Not anymore. I like cats.
Oh, gosh.
We know this. But Ben, back to yours too, the Europe trip. I don't know how long was the Jan Clark Europe trip? Couldn't have been that long.
I mean, it couldn't have been. Nah.
We don't even know where they went.
Three nights. Yeah.
Paris?
I don't know.
You think? Madrid?
I don't know. Dude, I don't think they say
somewhere, Italy. Maybe they must have gone to multiple places because they would have said the country. I feel like they would have said Spain or France,
right?
But they just said Europe, so maybe they got a little Euro pass and we're doing.
Probably Amsterdam. If we're being honest.
You're right. All right. We'll leave that one right there. And move on to Robert. Robert from in California. No. I don't know where Robert's from. Let's see.
Hey guys, this is Robert of California, aka Bobby from a previous voicemail episode. I downloaded episodes of the pod on my watch to listen when running, so it's kind of like Michael. He puts his money in his shoe, and then he forgets about it. Because of this, I skip around episodes quite a bit, so you can imagine my surprise when listening to voicemail episode 204, and I hear someone from California, and it's me. That was pretty meta. Now that I listen to my audio drops versus Alex's, you know, props to him. He does such a good job editing and trimming so that those drops are perfect. And if I could make another request from Edwin, could we hear more of an old-timey news broadcaster? And I didn't forget about you, Sean. We missed you there on the pod during your hand recovery, but glad you're back in the saddle. Finally, in a recent episode, you guys talked about Michael's secret recipe for scrambled eggs, and Edwin volunteering Alex to eat sugar scrambled eggs for episode 300 made me think of Dwight saying, and Aaron will eat garbage for your entertainment. So thank you, Alex, for being voluntold to eat some sugar eggs for our entertainment. Again, keep up the good work, guys, and let's hit 300.
Let's hit 300.
Sugar eggs.
I did commit to this, and I'm liking the idea, and I'm hating it, but I'm liking the idea of on episode 300.
Doing it for 300.
We finally do the office food.
The mayonnaise and olives.
We do it all. Bologna, tomato, ketchup sandwich.
Oh.
Dude, whatever. I was going to bring up your sandwiches that to me sound like they're made up on The Office as well, but
the anchovy radish sandwich was okay. It just wasn't all that.
It's fine.
And ketchup sounds very sweet.
Yes, it does. Some good ideas there from Robert for 300, and we will make Edwin do his old timey news voice. That's for sure.
Yeah. These two voicemails that we're gonna save for him, will make him respond in his old timey voice.
He must have been catching up from a while back from your hand injury, because that was not that recent.
Yeah. Nah, thumbs working. Do you have a cool scar? Good.
By the way,
yeah, you can't really see it because it's like sort of in the crease of the knuckle.
Oh, sure.
But it's working, you know? I mean, it's crazy because it's been like 10 months or something now since it happened. No, it's less than that, maybe 8.
It's been.
But I still got to, like, you know, I could be working on it more. I could be doing more of my, like, because they just give you, like, exercises to do and, like, putty. Like, I have some putty that I should be squeezing all the time and stuff. I can't, like... You know how you can kind of just bend the tip of your thumb, like isolate the tip of your thumb? I can't do that. I have to, like, the whole thing has to
down. Yeah.
But I almost have full
extension
of it. So I got to figure out how to get that, like,
nice.
I don't know if it's like double jointedness or something. It doesn't really go up all the way, but that's all right.
Half thumbs up from Sean. It's either all or nothing with Sean.
Yeah.
Like
80 B plus.
Moving 85%. On. Moving on. Let's go to this one from Cadence, calling in from St. Charles, Illinois.
Hello, this is Cadence calling from St. Charles, Illinois, and I don't care if you are gay or straight or a lesbian or overweight. Just listen to what I have to say. So I was recently diagnosed with autism, and in watching The Office, I've noticed that Dwight has characteristics of somebody who's also most likely on the autism spectrum. For example, he takes everything very literally, and he doesn't understand really, like, metaphor. Like when Jim is insisting that he knows nothing about bears, and then he's trying to convince Andy that he really does. He also sees everything really in black and white. He doesn't have very good social skills. For example, like, he's very blunt. He doesn't know how to talk to people very well, I would say. Those are also things I've noticed in myself a little bit. So discuss.
Okay. That Thank you, Cadence. That is, wow, that was a great voicemail.
I don't think this has ever been brought up.
And an incredible take that we have not ever talked about. Like,
yeah.
I mean, because now I'm looking, now I'm just kind of pulling up like symptoms of autism in adults on Google. And yeah, finding it hard to make friends, seeming blunt, rude, or not interested in others. I mean, Dwight does that all the time.
Yes.
Like, this is, I mean, like even with Pam, when she's you know, very pregnant and she kind of asks like, you know, if she's still hot or something, and Dwight gives her this very like emotionless, like, you know, breakdown of her attractiveness. man, it's reliance on rules and routines.
Yeah.
Being upset by relatively minor changes, like the having to wear like the long sleeve shirt or something like that.
I mean, I've done some work with many different special need populations and with adults with autism, and like it's true. Like you look at Dwight, and I'll say this, 100% believe Dwight's family never would have taken him in to get any kind of test done or any kind of screening or talk to a doctor about it. Like, no way that ever happened. But Dwight, I mean, yeah, like he's physically too, like he's not a touchy feely person. I know that can be pretty common to people on the spectrum. He doesn't like to hug. It helps explain why he is seemingly maybe gullible to Jim, where it's not really gullible. He just like takes what Jim says at face value, and he responds to that.
Yeah, maybe that's kind of like because I think one symptom is not really like understanding or being able to read other people's emotions. So like him having a hard time discerning whether or not Jim is being sarcastic or is like lying to him.
Yeah. Doesn't make Jim look great.
What this made me realize too, is we've kind of had this ongoing mini debate about whether or not, you know, Jim is a bad guy. And we have our friend Colin, who's called in to say that you know, he thinks that, you know, Dwight is just a guy trying to be good at like work hard.
He's got the broad face of a
bro at his job. And Jim is an asshole for, you know, trying to, you know, prank him and all
he's
this other stuff. But
he's
he's a bully. Yeah, he's a bully. And it's like, and if you look at this, like, man, yeah, it's now he's, you know, picking on somebody who's, you know, it's not fair. It's not a fair fight. So I don't know. It's a very interesting take, and I really appreciate the call, Cadence.
That is an amusing link. I'd like it sent to me, please.
you start thinking about it, and you go, yeah, it does seem like he's on the spectrum, for sure.
Yeah. And maybe this is something that we've talked about. God, we've been talking about The Office for so long. I don't know. but no, I think that you make a very good point.
You make a very compelling argument. I'm probably never going to remember to clip that drop, but it's so useful. It's too quiet. It's too quiet for the drop board, fortunately. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Cadence. Thank you for writing in, letting us know. Let us know that take. It's good. Good take. All right.
I think we got time for maybe
let's do two more. Let's go to Kelsey. Right now, and Kelsey, where is that? There it is. Calling in from Tennessee.
Insert clever greeting here. Hey, MSCC, Kelsey, calling from Tennessee. Been listening to you guys for forever. Love the show. I am currently listening to your most recent listener episode with voicemails. I actually just paused it to call because I knew I would forget if I didn't do it right now. So Laura from Columbus, Ohio just called in and asked about subtle office merch. So I wanted to make sure that you and all of my fellow listeners know that the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Penguins hockey team sells T-shirts and authentic jerseys on their website that say from Dwight, number one, on the back, just like the one that Dwight gifted Michael. So thought you all might want to know that, and hopefully we can sell that store out. Damn it, amazing. I'm getting pulled over for talking on my cell phone.
Whoa.
Classic. That's that awesome. Is cool.
I'm looking at these jerseys now. They're pretty sweet. That is a there was some talk of like what's some good subtle, what's really subtle merch? You know, like can you make office stuff that doesn't say The Office or doesn't really allude to it? And having a Wilkes-Barre like Penguins jersey, that's deep. I don't know if anyone would get that, but it would help to have that on the back as well.
That's good. That's good. You know, I'm just going to mention, too, that we got an interesting email from Amber, who, well, first of all, there are photos in this email of her visiting Scranton and Cooper's and Alfredo's Pizza Cafe. So this is a super cool email, and I'd love to chat about it more when Edwin's on the show. But she says that Wilkes-Barre has several pronunciations. Everybody says it differently. Yes. It sounds like Wilkes-Barre, 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 Wilkes-Barre. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
It's interesting, the ghosts. No, but there is a there's also t-shirt and long sleeve t-shirt, yeah, from Dwight, number one. Those are only $26-$28. That's affordable, folks. That's affordable. Get on there, get those shirts.
Nice.
Yeah, official Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins team store. Sell them out. I want to see a huge spike in sales, and I want them to know it came from us.
That's so sick.
Yeah, great one. All right, should we do one more here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got time for one more. We're going to end where we started. And you know who that is. That's going to be Jacob down in Dunder Mifflin, Phoenix, the regional director in charge of sales of the Southwest area, Mr. Jacob.
Hey, what up, Cynthia? It's Jacob Dunman from Phoenix. You know, we always all take the time to shout y'all out and give you praise and appreciation. And I do. I love your show. You know that. But I want to give a shout to the community, everybody, the talk, the casual listeners, the committed listeners, the day oneers, the in-betweeners, the quarantiners, whoever it may be. Having you guys there in this listenership, like, I don't know, some of you probably understand it, it's like a bond, you know what I mean? Like, you're listening and somebody calls in and leaves a voicemail and you're like, hey, that was a good voicemail, you know, kind of Austin or whoever, dude from, I think it's Aaron from Spokane, he leaves some good stuff. Of course, PK and Nami always send it up, and Jimmy, those are the killers. And Thaddeus, of course, has been a little radio silent, but it's okay. But I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody real quick because without us, the show doesn't go, right? You know? Just saying. Anyways, I'll catch you guys on Flippity Flip. Can't wait for new content.
Come on. Come on.
I swear to God, we played that at the end of the last voicemail bag.
Episode. We did not.
No.
It was a very similar one.
Really? Oh, okay. All right.
It was a very similar one where he actually did more specific shout outs to each listener.
Oh, man. All right, cool. Well, dude, yeah, I love that. I love that. And it's so true, man. Thank you all so much to all of our listeners, for the people who call in, for the people who write to us, to the Scott's Tots. Yeah, you guys make this show possible. I never thought that we would be able to do so many of these voicemail episodes, and they are my favorite type of episode that we do now, because it's just really fun to interact with you guys and kind of build on theories or things that we've mentioned before, or, you know, kind of have these debates about, you know, whether or not Oscar is gossiping or trying to tell Dwight that's his kid. I just appreciate everybody and that all these voicemails are always like really funny. And I just love when everyone calls in and says, what's up, my nerds? And
what up, Cynthia? I'm getting pulled over for talking on my phone.
Yeah. I love that stuff, man. Bits. It's just like, we're having a good time. We're having fun.
Do you remember we set up the voicemail line and it was like, is anyone going to call? Like, what? Yeah. And we, you know, we started getting them. I was like, oh my God, someone left a voicemail. And
we
now,
actually have like six voicemails. We could do an episode. Yeah. Like, I remember.
The first time we did one, I was like, I think we have enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was very exciting. And now there's, we got hundreds and hundreds sitting in there at any given time for us to sift through. There's a lot. And
that's awesome.
So I want to echo what Jacob said, which is the show doesn't go without y'all.
The show doesn't
and,
go.
Yeah. Very thankful for you. So we hope to keep delivering this premium content here through the holidays, and you know, we'll be there with you on your long drives, on your chores. If you want to fall asleep to us, that's fine. You know, you want to wake up to us, great. Use this as an alarm.
And and if you want to call us at 503-694-9314. Leave us a voicemail. Of course, we like to play them on the show. Best way to email us is get a hold of us is email mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. We have our merch store, mspcstore.com, where we got mugs and a t-shirt. And you can join our Discord. That's open to everyone. But if you join our Patreon, you get to go to the secret channels of Discord, and you can join Patreon at patreon.com/MichaelScott. $5 a month gets you Scott's Tots, access to mailbag episodes every month, and ad-free main feed episodes, and lots of other bonus content that you've heard about. And of course, we donate a portion of those funds to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. Very special thanks to our Patreon supporters. Without you guys, we couldn't be doing this. And to Kayla and Brianna, who run our Discord. Thank you to Ryan Lloyd, who designs all our artwork. This episode was recorded on location in Portland, Oregon. And that's it. Not Zurich, Switzerland today.
Quick thing before I sign off.
Or Vietnam.
Quick thing before I sign off. It's Spotify Wrapped season for those of you listen on Spotify. So send us your screenshots. Send us your stats from this show. We'll do a Spotify Wrapped review at some point in December. So.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Send us your stuff.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you next week. Is that exactly what Edwin
Great
said?
Job.
I think that's
Great
it.
Job.
Thanks. I always tune out.
Pippity poppy, give me the song.
Yes, sir.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Good night.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.